You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
This is Ketron Allen, and you listen to Rasta Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with Cody Carpentier for a big, big, big show. Super pumped to be here with you. So we're back home from the Senior Bowl. We're into draft season. We are getting up the rookie spotlights over at rosterwatch.com. Cody's got a mock draft up over on the website. We're getting ready for the combine. We're trying to get as familiarized as we possibly can with the skill position players in the 2026 NFL draft that we're going to be able to address and interview and just watch there and bring you coverage from the combine. Certainly at the combine, in a spot where we're going to be there for a whole week, a little bit easier to get out regular content than it is like a hair-raising travel week like we just had, getting down to the Senior Bowl through the snowstorm. So just like you guys have gotten used to in the past, we'll have daily shows here on the channel breaking down what we saw both inside Lucas Oil watching the drills, but also kind of as importantly, you know, the information that we get from inside the what is it, Cody? The city center? What's that thing? Conference?
Convention Center.
Whatever it is. What is that thing called?
Indianapolis Convention Center.
Yeah, the convention center. The convention center. And of course, the bars and the cockamamie restaurants around the convention center where you get most of your intel there during the week. But today we just wanted to talk a little bit about some of these guys. I just have questions about this class just in general, just for Dynasty and all the rest. I think that where I wanted to start was kind of Senior Bowl related in Nick Singleton. On Thursday, after we recorded our kind of days one and two recap last week and before traveling back home, Nick Singleton like breaks his foot in practice. And we had to leave right before the American practice. So we didn't see it. But certainly you hate to hear it. And what I hate to hear most about it, Nick Singleton, the running back out of Penn State, of course, the backfield mate of Ketron Allen, two of the guys that are going to be, due to the kind of relative weakness of this running back class, two of the guys that probably both going to end up in most people's top five, I think. Top five to seven, I think.
It's probably a fair bet when you take into account the two Notre Dame backs, Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price. Well,
I kind of want to talk about Jadarian Price too. I'm not so sure that he's the RB2.
Well, I'm not sure at one point, I don't know, 3 months ago, he was pretty like consensus throughout the seasonal process. I was definitely let down by the fact that Jonah Coleman from Washington and Le'Veon Moss from Texas A&M didn't show up in Mobile, because those were two guys I was like prepared to.
So both guys that could be right up there, right? But it just as far as Singleton, just so I can finish. I'm disappointed in the fact that whenever I look at his profile and I look at the way that I wrote him up, I think to myself, you know, here's one of the most productive backs in all of Penn State history, right? The second most total touchdowns all time at Penn State among running backs, right? He's 220 pounds. He's on the Bruce Feldman's freaks list. He's clocked apparently at 220 at 4.3. He hit 23.6 miles per Feldman on the GPS, squat 665 pounds, which I just can't believe with how thin his calves are. And once again, as somebody tweeted at us on X,
us talking about skinny calves and then guys getting injured. It's just terrible
for the guy.
Undefeated. But like, this is a guy who you looked at and you're like, okay, even if you look at the down year that Penn State had in 2025 and you're much more impressed with Singleton in 2024, when he gets to the combine, people are going to be reminded of the running back that he was, because he's going to test through the roof. We're going to get robbed of Nick Singleton testing. He's not going to do a thing. Unless it's some kind of – and I'm not a doctor.
0% chance.
Unless it's some kind of one of these things where it's a non-bearing, weight-bearing – even if it's a non-weight-bearing bone or something weird like that.
There's a micro chance he gets to go to the pro day and run. There's a broken
some kind of May pro day or something, like, or some, one of these, not May, but one of these like kind of mid-April sort of pro days where they push it back.
Like April 8th, like the standalone pro day potentially, yeah. But even like a running back like that, it's like, what do you like? We already have, you know, this E time from Feldman. We know what the guy can squat. We know we've got GPS times. Like, I don't know if they're going to really rush him back. Like, if he makes it for the pro day, I think he makes it for the pro day. If it's like a March 27 date or something like this, where he gets a full, I don't know, what would that be, 5 to 6 weeks, and see where he's at. But it's like, I don't think they're going to rush him back. They know who he is. And like you just said, the class isn't that, you know, deep at the top from a talent perspective.
It would be more than 5 or 6 weeks. If they gave him one of those ones that was like, one of those super far, like, do you remember when, like, who was that, Sean Tucker, that had his own that his friends filmed?
Yeah, but that was
– well, I understand that it's not – I'm just talking about the timing of it. I'm not talking about the – about the aesthetics or the quality control. I'm talking about just that one. I remember happened real, real close to draft day, right? Like, we're talking more like April, mid-April. And so if this injury occurred late January, so you have late January to late February, late February to late March, and then it's going to be at max two and a half months. So longer than 5 to 6 weeks, but I still think even 2.5 months.
He's not doing a pro. There's 0% chance he does a pro day in April. Who he is and what this class is, I just don't see it.
How are you going to handle him in the rankings?
I think he's going to stay in the top five. He might come down a notch. I mean, I want to hear, obviously, what the, you know, they're going to come out and say, like, you know, what the, hopefully, come out and say, like, what the surgery was, like, if it was just a bone break or if it was a tendon or what actually happened. Because all it says is
what if it was a mid-foot sprain?
Well, here's my worry is, if you remember right, the first 2 days of practice, we watched him, small calves, whatever. And then Thursday, we go out there and we're watching the morning, and he's got a leg wrap on his left calf. And I said, Singleton's got a leg wrap on his left calf.
Oh, I thought he. Oh, okay. So he was out there for the first practice.
Yeah, but I didn't think nothing of it.
Practicing. Okay.
He was practicing. He was fine, but he must have, you know, had a little bit of a tweak or some tightness. So I hope, like I said, I hope it's just a broken ankle, a broken foot, something he can recover from quickly. But like, I'm worried about the calf. You know, if it's a tendon or something, and hopefully it's obviously not an Achilles, but. I don't know. They say broken foot, but I don't, we'll find out at the combine for sure. But I think what you do with them, I think you just kind of hold, I think we're going to have some, people that are going to be in the biggest problem is if they have a draft like a fantasy draft, the rookie draft pre NFL draft. And I'm like, I wonder, I don't know. It's going to be a weird timing between like the combine and the draft. If you have a rookie dynasty draft and you're like trying to make up a decision what to take Singleton with, like the 1.9 or something, the 1.10, which is, I would guess, probably where he's going to land right now, just kind of pontificating on that. But as far as the running back group goes, like, it's, you can still make an argument for him to be the running back too.
Yeah. It's going to be just a much separate conversation for Singleton in best ball than it is going to be in dynasty and, or for just NFL draft prospecting. It's like, just because I think – so I'm searching here online, and it's like the initial reports said that he's going to be out for – you know, it's a four-month recovery. So we're looking at a recovery right around draft day.
So he's not doing nothing.
Yeah. But if it's right around draft day, that should mean that he's able to show up for rookie mini camps, and then hopefully at least by mandatory OTAs. So we're talking May is like the rookie mini camps, right? End of May is the voluntary OTAs, and then middle of June is the mandatory OTAs, right? You figure at least, even if they're lying a little bit about it, maybe if you get that extra month, he's at least makes it to mandatory OTAs. Like we just saw last year, how important that is to be able to get to those before coming back to fall camp as a rookie, if you're going to want to contribute soon. In Dynasty, it won't matter quite as much. And I think in Dynasty, he was going to be a guy that was going to, in Superflex, I think he was going to be taken at the 1-2 turn anyway. So, but I don't know how much farther you push him down. And now you're getting guys, it feels like, dude, people are on X saying, well, now this just means you got to take Katron Allen ahead of him. People are talking about Emmett Johnson from Nebraska, who I have not done yet. Have you done Emmett Johnson yet, Cody?
I haven't done work on him, but I watched him a couple times this year. He's a stud. But okay. I don't know if he's quite in this conversation.
I think I'm going to do him next, just because I want to see what everybody's talking about. And I'm like you. I've just done the TV scouting, so yeah. I'll pull some film on him. But he sure seems like, man, he can catch. I'll tell you that much. I mean,
he was like there. He was like Nebraska's like McCaffrey. Like
he can catch.
He was everything to that offense.
So I'm just kind of interested to see whether there's this kind of bubbling hive with Emmett Johnson and see if I'm interested in getting on board with that as somebody to add to this mix. But I do think that one guy who's definitely gonna be in the mix, we talked about it last week, Mike Washington for us is going to be up there, despite the fact are you surprised you're not hearing a little bit more buzz about him coming out of the Senior Bowl? Is it just that he's gonna be 25 that people hate, which I kind of hate it too. I mean, it's certainly not ideal, but you can't get it out of your head that he weighs 228 pounds and moves that well.
Yeah, I'm at the point, and I'm at the point where I had like a realization about Tyler Allgeier while we were out there, and I think I can't remember exactly how old Tyler Allgeier was when he was drafted. I want to say he's 25 now, so he must have been 22 when he came out, but he was an older back, obviously not as old as Mike Washington. But I just had this thought. I was like, man, if that dude can be a middle round draft pick and just go into an offense and rush for 1,000 off the rip, like NFL teams are going to carry that. Like that's going to have weight. Like if you can get a guy like Mike Washington, the third or fourth or fifth round, I'm not quite sure where I would plug him right now. I think in this class, he might get himself into the third. I think I mocked him like in the 60s in this two round mock because I wanted to put him in there. And it's like that guy in this land of the NFL right now, how much is that worth to you to get 2 to 3 years of Mike Washington? I think that guy can rush for 1,000 yards on, a good football team. And in Dynasty, yeah, you're going to be like, I hate that. You're probably going to get a little bit of value out of him, maybe. But I think Mike Washington is a really good back. If this guy was 3 years younger, I think we'd be talking about him in a completely different conversation. And there's no reason to believe what we saw last week and what you keep talking about with the Texas game, like against one of the better defenses, isn't that the best defense he played all year? Like this is something that it's not just like a one trick. Oh, this guy, he's got wheels. We'll see what happens. Like, no, it's a good running back. And I think an NFL team,
and
he's going to get an opportunity to be a back that, totes the rock 150 times.
Who can run routes and who can pass protect. We saw the Senior Bowl. He's a guy who can do everything. You look at him and you're just like, man, he's 25 years old. Something that's brand new that can do everything is the Alpha Seasoning. You can go to alphaseasoning.com. It's Cody and I's original line of spice blends. We have the Elite Spice Blend and the Longhorn Dust Spice Blend. And we're telling you about it today because we're running a Super Bowl promo where you can get 20% off both of the spices, the Elite Spice Blend and the Longhorn Dust. Cody and I spent about a year putting these things together, traveling, but trying to source ingredients from all ends of the earth, right? For just the perfect spice blend, the most versatile spice blends, to true workhorses for your spice cabinet. We created these because nobody else was doing it. We wanted them. And this is what came out of it. So go to alphaseasoning.com, or if you're watching on YouTube, you can scan that QR code. Use the promo code Super Bowl, all capital letters, no space between it, and you can get 20% off. Also, we have a promo on right now where if you buy three bottles, you get free shipping. That is at alphaseasoning.com. It's a great way to support us, but it's also a great way to really impress your friends and family with the most delicious spice blends that you could ever imagine. Alphaseasoning.com.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Okay. Anything else about any of these running backs that you wanted to talk about? Well, and then what about Jadarian? Just your general thoughts. I've started to do a little bit of work on him, and I think he's super fast. I think he's good. He's young. He can return kicks. Not really used much in the passing game. Is that something that you see could be something where he gets ramped up with it, or what do you think about him? And just the fact that he seems like he's a consensus. It just feels weird for two Notre Dame running backs to be running back one and running back two.
Well, it's not like we've never seen it before. I mean, we've seen it. Cadillac and Ronnie.
Auburn. But yeah. I was like 10 or 15 years old when that happened.
It's fair. But it's like, it's kind of a rare situation, right? It's not going to happen. It feels like it's never going to happen every year, but this class isn't deep. We've talked about this. Like, it's got some all right guys, but at the top, it's like pretty clearly been Jeremiah Love for 2 years now and Jadarian Price. It's an interesting eval because when, you know, everybody knew Love would get the football when Love was in the game. And then when they took him out and they put Price in, they never threw the ball to Price. I think he had like eight, maybe seven total receptions. It's like, all right, are they going to hand it off to him? But we're probably not going to have eight in the box when he's in the game. We're probably going to back off a little bit, and then he would gash you for 8 yards every carry. And you're like, all right, well, how do we weight this? And it's like, I think he's still a really good running back. I haven't, like I said, completed the work there. I think he's a really good downhill guy. I think he can get north and south pretty quickly and make guys miss. And I think he's got the size. I don't know what he's going to end up being, 217, maybe 215, something around that range. It kind of seems like on tape. But I don't know. I think there's still a chance. I don't know. I feel very middling.
Questions about the, like, now that we're through the Senior Bowl and we've done all the scouting work on all the senior bowlers, and we're like, we know the Jonah Coleman's and he doesn't show up, and we know the Le'Veon Moss's and he doesn't show up. It's like, I still have question marks about those guys, but I'm looking around like, well, who else is there now?
Price.
Is that the only answer?
Well, Emmett Johnson, but it just depends on what you think of him. Like, I don't know what he's going to come in and weigh at. Like, I think he was listed at like maybe 200 pounds on Nebraska's website. It's like, that guy had 300 touches last year. And yeah, I mean, sure, he can be a satellite plus, but what's that worth to you in dynasty? I think is the end all question. Is like, is a guy like that going to come in and weigh 194 pounds at the combine? You're going to go, that's my running back too?
He's listed at
200. About that? Or are you going to say, how about Jadarian Price, who's got, I don't even know what his total trade is.
Like 208? I guess it's better than 190. He's not going to be 194, is he?
280 total career carries for Jadarian Price. Like, it's a lot of tread still there.
There still is a lot of tread left. You're not saying there's too much tread on the tire. Wait,
no, I'm saying like from a perspective of like weighing these two different guys. Obviously, they're two different backs, but like if Emma Johnson comes in, if we're talking about running back two, and we're like, all right, well, one of these two guys is potentially the guy over a Singleton or a Catron or Mike Washington. Are you going to go Emma Johnson? Or are you going to go Jadarian? It's like Jadarian's got a lot of tread left on the tire. He's 210 pounds. He's a downhill runner. Gets between the tackles. Not the elite pass catcher, but Emma Johnson's the elite pass catcher. But he's going to be away 100, maybe 197, 194. We'll see what he weighs at the combine, like I said. And I'm not convinced he's going to be some 4.39 guy. But
I don't know, man. He's like, if you watch the, he's a slasher. Like, he's a guy that can pick up. What was his yards per carry? Like, I know that Jadarian Price probably, and I don't ever look at yards per carry, but I'm just trying to think about, So last year he was at 5.8. I'm sure Jadarian Price always had those like four. Every time he touches it, it goes like 14 yards.
I think he averaged like 6 yards a carry, or 6.62 or 6.3 or something.
6.62 in 2024.
It felt like he averaged like 9.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It seemed like one of these ones since the volume. You know, we're talking only about like 110 carries a year for the guy. Like so. Since the volume was low, you figure he might have one of those kind of a little more elevated ones. But six, like I said, that's not, yards per carry is not a metric that we really do look at too much. Just more descriptive of kind of what I've seen. I'm very interested. I've just decided I'm doing Emmett Johnson next. I want to see where this whole thing sort of stacks up, and I'm just super also interested. I'm also interested. Like I want to see what Le'Veon Moss looks like in just IRL, just standing next to him. That was a real important thing about this whole last week about getting to see these running backs. I thought as far as the wide receivers, my big question coming out of this whole thing was what to make of the LSU guys. And because LSU had Aaron Anderson at the Senior Bowl, they had Berrion Brown at the Senior Bowl, who was at Kentucky, transfers into LSU. They had Chris Hilton at the Senior Bowl, who was a late ad. Did they have four guys there?
Xavier Thomas was at the Shrine.
So they have Xavier Thomas. They basically had a wide receiver room that they thought, with a guy like Aaron Anderson coming off his 2024 season, right? With Chris Hilton, who they brought to SEC Media Days, who we got to talk to there, who they said was going to have the big year for them, bringing in Berrion Brown. You know, they have Xavier Thomas. There's even one other that I'm not thinking of that I didn't mention.
Nick Anderson was also there.
Nick Anderson, who comes in from Oklahoma. So you have all these guys, and you have Nuss, Garrett Nussmeier, supposedly healthy and ready to take his big step to becoming one of the top quarterback prospects in this whole entire class. Son of longtime offensive coordinator. Doug Nussmeier?
Yep.
And I think radio host, maybe. Is he on Sirius XM radio and stuff too? Or is he on like
Doug?
What?
You're saying Doug is?
Broadcasts or something. Has he ever been on TV or media or anything?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay. Regardless, son of a coach. Like, it's the kind of golden son that the NFL was just really hoping for. You give him this stable of wide receivers. Turns out none of them were really that great at LSU last year, right? And Nuss wasn't great. He was hurt. LSU season, bad. Brian Kelly fired. Next thing you know, Nuss is having to go to the Senior Bowl and try and make up for lost time. And Lane Kiffin is the coach of the LSU Bayou Bengals. But I will say this about Aaron Anderson is Trashman did a write up on him. I'm like, dude, I just got done at the Senior Bowl where I saw Aaron Anderson, who is a guy that just very surprisingly to me, except on a couple routes, dude, just failed to really stand out in any real way in the one-on-ones at an event where we have, and why should I say Aaron Anderson is like a total slot wide receiver. He's like 5'7", 177, right? He's one of these guys that in the past where we've seen in these one-on-ones where fast, twitchy slot wide receivers of the Senior Bowl, they get the choice routes against the DBs who run an island and they can cook them, right? They can just cook them. And we've seen it year after year after year, this prototype of player. We've talked about it a million times. Tank Dell, Roman Wilson, Calvin Austin, Cooper Kupp to a certain degree.
Tez Johnson.
Tez was I wouldn't put Tez in the same categories like the Roman Wilsons or the
– But Tez had a better week than Aaron Anderson did.
Maybe.
Aaron Anderson didn't cook. Like, you can vividly remember, you know, like the Tank Dell stuff, the Roman Wilson stuff. I can remember, like, a couple plays from Tez. I don't remember – a single like big play from Aaron Anderson.
Oh, I remember one really nice one-on-one, but that's all. Like just one really nice one, and it was the same thing. It was the choice route right there in the middle of the field where the defender's always on skates. It's really really hard, man, for those guys. And so, I think I think about all that stuff, I think about how he has the seventh shortest arms of 37 combined wide receivers who measured in at the Senior Bowl and the combine. All this undersized, all of it. I look at his counting stats from this last year, where it's like 33 receptions for 398 yards and zero touchdowns. But then I just look into it and I'm like, man, if you look at 2024, some of those games he had in 2024, he flashes some speed, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And just the ability to get open underneath. He didn't have the counting stats this last year, but he had 2.43 yards per catch. Or 2.43 yards per route run in 2025, which is, I mean, it's pretty good, but it was the best of all the LSU wide receivers. And then if you look at it, like in 2025, he left a like as you're watching these games, you're like, where did he go? And then so you don't get any analysis on the from the All 22, right? There's no announcer saying anything, but you go and you look up, you're like, oh, what happened during this game? And like, he had to leave with an elbow injury and he didn't play the next week. And he had knee inflammation for a couple of them. And I wonder, when I had him buried in the rankings of the guys I've done so far, I had to move him up. As far as the other LSU guys, I had to move him up over all the other LSU guys after the work I did on him. I like him better than Barrion Brown. I like him better than Xavier Thomas. I guess I haven't done all my official work on Nick Anderson, but I mean
Nick Anderson hasn't been healthy in 3 years. So
yeah, so it's just really hard. So, well, I know that you've been working mainly on the running backs and stuff like that for your write ups on Roster Watch. I'm curious where you are on those LSU guys, because it felt to me like a throwaway week from them at the Senior Bowl. But it feels like that's a bad, you know, that before this year, we were just so pumped to see this group and everything went to dust. I don't know. And then we go to the Senior Bowl and don't see anything.
Yeah.
I get a little bit concerned about just kind of leaving them to the wayside though, and having a huge blind spot in my evals just because of any kind of biases that I picked up along the way because of those circumstances.
Well, it's a tough thing when an offense is so inept because of injury and just being, internal failures. The talent was never a question, I don't think, on the LSU team. It's like, yeah, Nick Anderson, you kind of knew was going to deal with injuries coming in. It's what he did at Oklahoma before he transferred there. But, like, I loved Xavier Thomas 2 years ago when he transferred in there. Aaron Anderson was supposed to be, like, the alpha. I know he's the smallest of the group, but he's supposed to be, like, the alpha. And Chris Hilton's got his own skill set. They also got a tight end in Bauer Sharp, and then you bring in Barrion Brown from Kentucky, who is supposed to be like the 4.3 guy, and you're supposed to have all this speed. And then you got the big tight end that's still there who's going to come out next year's class. His name escapes me, but it's a lot of talent for Garrett Nussmeier. And I think the biggest takeaway really from the season was just that. It's like you didn't really get to see what Aaron Anderson could have been or what Barrion Brown should have been or even what Xavier Thomas, who's more of a gadgety guy, could have been. So I don't know if I would call it a blind spot as much as it's just kind of like we just have to do more work. We have to do deeper work on these guys and make sure we're not missing something, because the tape with Aaron Anderson has never lied. It's always seemed like he's been a stud. Now, that doesn't take into account, like you said, the shortest arms, 5'7", 177 pounds. And to me, he wasn't a guy that skated across the football field. That's my, you know, when I look at these small dudes, and we've talked about the Tanks, the Tezzes. Who was the year before Tank, the guy that we missed on, that was undersized and 5'7", like 160.
It wasn't Tutu Atwell.
But he fits in that whole boat. It's like you have to be special to be a hit. And, you know, Tank was a hit, and Tank was a guy that skated across the football field. He was uncoverable in every quadrant when you're down there at the Senior Bowl. And that's kind of stuff that worries me about these guys, where it's like Anderson has speed, Barrion has speed. They should be winning in this situation, and they're not. And they even had, you know, a couple of them, I think, were on Nussmeier's team. And, yeah, they were separated for a lot of these reps and stuff. But I can't remember who had the better game. I think Anderson had a couple of catches in the game, or Brown did. But my favorite of the group will end up being Anderson for sure. I have a little bit of a love for Xavier Thomas, but that's more of the gadgety side. He's a kick return guy, punt return guy. a guy that can carry the football a little bit. He's 5'10", 196, a little bit bigger than Aaron Anderson. But again, with Anderson, I think you're talking about the most dynamic, the most explosive of the group, but also the smallest and kind of micro. Like, not, I don't know. I feel like we're going to get the Indianapolis and you're going to be like, go look at Aaron Anderson. He's puny, like we did with Josh Downs.
Josh Downs didn't turn out too bad.
Yeah, but Josh, I feel like Josh Downs carried some good weight in his lower half, right? Like, I'm not sure. I don't know. We'll see. How fast? I mean, if he runs something, like, do you think he's going to run blazingly fast? Like, you think he's hitting the 4.3s? What'd you guys project for him?
Well, I mean, people at LSU talk like he runs a 4.34. I don't believe that. I projected it at Cowardly, just like a 4.40.
Okay. Probably, I mean, good enough.
How fast do you think he's a high school track star from Edna Carr High School in New Orleans. One of these dudes. I think his 100 meter time was, I believe, a 10.57. Did like won him state or whatever. So whatever that translates to. If,
that's, you know, pretty good, yeah.
I'm sure that there's somebody out there in the chat who can tweet at us. And
Trey Tucker was the other senior bowler. You comped him to Trey Tucker, it looks like.
I comped him to Trey. Hey, look at that. Things always come full circle.